The message of the parables of the Bible. We're in the book of Zechariah. And Marilyn, what does Zechariah mean?
God remembers.
God remembers. All right. God did remember to send the Messiah. God did remember Israel. God remembered each and every one of us. He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life way back yonder in eternity past, according to this chart, way over there in eternity past. Zechariah, the 13th chapter. Before we go there, I want you to understand some things. Again, just by repetition. Repetition, repeat, 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 and sometimes they get it. As simple as that. Welcome to another message from Fish Lake Valley. The purpose of the writing of Zechariah is to reveal to God's people that God has an eternal purpose, and that purpose will not fail. The author, of course, was Zechariah, and this is written to the Jews in captivity, and also to us today to know that God's word is solid and true and faithful. Chapters 1 through 8 were written about 520 to 518 B.C. And chapters 9 through 14 were written about 480 B.C., which is quite a few years later. But the same story, the oracle of the Lord, the edicts of the Lord. One thing special about the book of Zechariah is that it has many apocalyptic and many messianic scriptures in it. Now, we're studying the last two chapters, or the last, second to the last chapter in the book of Zechariah, in chapter 13. And the last chapter, chapter 12, told about Israel seeing the Messiah that they had crucified, and that he would bring them back to repentance. Again, I want to repeat, I do not believe in replacement theology. The church is not Israel. Israel is not the church. They are two separate entities. Israel has a future in the economy of God, not because of their ungodly deeds, but because of God's unrelenting, unconditional promises to Abraham and to David. There will be a kingdom of Israel on this earth for 1,000 years. Israel will never be the bride of God again. Israel lost that chance. The 13th chapter of the book of Zechariah, we're talking about refining Israel. Israel was called out as a nation way back over here in the promise. Turn this light on, it might shine a little better where you can see that chart. Way back over here, when God called Abraham out, God had, in the mind of God, there was a nation of Israel. Way back over here, after the flood, in Genesis the 9th chapter, God told Noah through prophecy that the Shemites would dwell, or the Japhethites would dwell in the tents of Shem, and they would carry forth the gospel. It has happened. Because of the promises, Israel was in bondage in Egypt for 400 plus years. God called them out, and he called Moses to call them out. Moses, through many great miracles, through his brother Aaron, brought Israel out of Egypt. For 40 years in the wilderness, they wandered because of their unfaithfulness. And for 2,000 years today, Israel has wandered because of their unfaithfulness. But God's unrelenting, unconditional promise with David and with Abraham, Israel shall be called again to do her job for 1,000 years. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 38. Israel was dispersed, Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19, when they crucified the Messiah. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Augustine began the idea of replacement theology, that Israel should be totally destroyed because of what they did. What they did was very bad. But don't forget the promises of God. God wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before he created anything in eternity past. And yet, in space and time, he gives us the volition to make the decision to follow or reject. The provision is for all mankind, but is efficacious only to those that repent and call upon him. In that day, a fountain will be opened up for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness or impurity. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will be no longer be remembered, and also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. God is going to cleanse that land. Israel is absolutely saturated with false religion and atheism today. Israel is saturated with Islam. Islam and the Jews both today are on the outs with God. The Jews will not believe and will not recognize that they, as of this yet, they will not recognize that they have rejected the Messiah and murdered the Messiah. In the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen spoke to them, and he rehearsed all of the promises of God to the leaders of Israel. And then he said, in the last bit, he said, and you crucified the God of glory. And then they stoned him, which was illegal. They didn't have the right for death penalty anyway. And then after they killed him, they came up there and chewed on him with their teeth like dogs. Mm. But I'm going to tell you something. The gospel had gone to the dogs. It has gone to the Gentile. Mm. Now, 2/3 of every of all the Jews upon the face of the earth that call themselves Jews are going to die. They're going to die for their sins, the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ. They're going to die for it. But 1/3 of these people will go into the millennial reign. 5 out of 6 people will die on this earth of the Gentiles. Only 1/6 of the Gentile nations and 1/3 of the Jews will go into the millennium. Epites geis, terra firma, upon this earth that we walk on. This is where that kingdom will be. The Jehovah Witnesses say, I don't want to go to heaven, I want to go to the kingdom. I'll tell you what, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to the kingdom. Because you've got to go through the tribulation period first. I'm not looking forward to that at all. I don't believe I'm going to go there. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord Jehovah Sabaoth, that I will cut off the name of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered, and I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. And I told you, the last class, I told you that Islam is looking for the Mahdi to come. He will be 40 years old. He will be a direct descendant of Muhammad. He will have the very reincarnation of Muhammad in him. He will be a reluctant leader. They will call upon him. His goal is to kill all the pigs, because they are reincarnated Jews, cursed Jews. He will kill all the Jews, and he will kill all the Christians. His helpers will be Isa, the false Jesus of Islam, and the beast. The book of Revelation tells us that 2/3 of the Jews will die, that 5 out of every 6 people in the world will die. What will bring about these deaths greatly is Islam. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Islam has killed over 170 to 270 million unbelievers, kafir, what we call infidels. Wherever they are, you cannot openly declare your faith. Islam is not tolerant to any other religion at all. And when they move into a nation, they will not assimilate. They will demand that they live under Sharia law. I believe that is the time, and that is the religion, and the politics, the national religion of the Antichrist, the political system of the Antichrist, the law system of the Antichrist. The Bible says that the Antichrist will have the beast mark all of those that are his with a number 666, which means man, man, man. Man-made religion. Man, man, man. The Bible says that these people will be forever damned and doomed to die and then be in hell forever and ever. The first people in hell will be the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Right there. The first people in hell. The first people. I will come about that anyone who still prophesies, then his father and mother who gave birth to him will say to him, "You shall not live, for you have spoken falsely in the name of the Lord." And his father and mother who gave birth to him will pierce him through when he prophesies. Also will come about in the day that the prophets will each be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies, and they will not put on a hairy robe in order to deceive them. They will not put on sackcloth and act like they're in humility. When Muhammad went up on the mountain in the cave, he stayed up there many, many times. Because he was married to Hajjah, he had plenty of rest time. He had plenty of leisure time. And according to many medical sources, they believe that Muhammad had frontal lobe epilepsy. And that it would just wear him out, and he had actually, when he would have these so-called visions, when he'd have these seizures, that he would think he was talking with God. And that's common among this type of mental illness and medical infirmity. He went up there and stayed in the cave, and he said there appeared unto him an angel. He thought it was a demon. And this demon would grab a hold of him and squeeze him, and just squeeze the life out of him. And he would say to him, "Recite or read." And Muhammad would tell this angel, "I don't know how to read. I don't know how to do that." And this happened to him three times. And later on in the Sunnahs, the Hadith, and the Quran, he describes this angel. And if you go to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, you will see the description of this angel. It is actually Lucifer. And he believed that he was demon-possessed when he went down off the mountain. He went to his wife and he said, "Cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me. I'm afraid." He was freezing, yet it was hot. He was sweating, and yet it was cold. Mm-hmm. She told him, "Oh, I don't know what's wrong with you." He said, I'm going to be like all the prophets. He said, the prophets, they said, they believed all the Arabian prophets were demon-possessed. That's how they got these prophecies, through demonic sources. Now, we know that there are three groups of angels and three groups of spirits. One in the mental realm, one in the physical realm, and one in the informational realm. One third of the angels and spirits in each realm rebelled against God. Two thirds are with God. We know that those in the information realm, the spirits, came from Gabriel's realm. Those are the transfer information and knowledge. Now, if that is actually a fact, there are many false religions in the world. Jehovah's Witness. Why, Charles Taze Russell believed that God was revealing to him and he was the only person. Herbert Armstrong thought the gospel hadn't been preached for 1,800 years until he came along, but the gospel he had was not the gospel of the Bible, nor of Charles Taze Russell. The Seventh-day Adventist do away with hell and make Lucifer, Eliezer, the scapegoat that goes to hell and suffers for every man. Nobody has to go to hell because Satan will go there and suffer for them. The Mormons, you know, there are many good Jehovah's Witnesses, many good Mormons. The Mormons, Joseph Smith, believed that he had revelations. If he had revelations at all, it was through the informational realm that I talked about, through Gabriel's realm. These false religions, and these false religious leaders have all this so-called information that they have about how somebody is doing something wrong, that nobody's ever preached the gospel in 1,800 years, 2,000 years, or whatever else. But they have the charisma to lead people. They have the charisma. They have the spiritual background. How do people get so psyched out to give their lives for false religions? In the Islamic nations today, many Jehovah's Witnesses are dying for their faith. And yet, they open their eyes now. Many Mormons, the same thing. The Buddhist. All these people, Catholics. Catholics that don't know the Lord. There may be some saved Catholics out there that have actually believed. I know there are because I have led a lot of them to the Lord. I have led more Catholics to the Lord than anyone else in my ministry. Any other people, that is. They believe. They believe the Bible, even though they don't read it very much. Of course, they have continual revelation through the Holy See, according to Catholicism. And that is a masterpiece, a false religion. It also come about in that day that the prophets will each one be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies, and they will not put on a hairy robe in order to deceive people. But he will say, I am not a prophet, I am a tiller of the ground, for a man sold me as a slave in my youth. Muhammad, when he went down to Hajjah and he told her to cover him, she said, wait a minute, maybe you got this wrong. Maybe you're not demon possessed. She said, do you still see that demon? He said, yes, I still see him. So she uncovered her top and showed her breast. And he sat on her lap. And she said, do you still see the demon? And she said, yes. Okay, so she uncovered one of her thighs. And she said, do you still see the demon? And he said, yes. So she undressed her whole self and she said, do you still see the demon? And she said, no. Oh, she said, if that was a demon, the demons like naked women, but that was an angel of God. That was Gabriel. His idea of what Gabriel came to him came from his wife, not from him. He thought he was demon possessed. And that's how he judged. That's how he believed that he was spoken to by Gabriel the angel and not some satanic force. But the revelations that he received are totally contrary to the word of God. And we're going to see one of them right here in just a moment. Didn't come out of the clear blue yonder. I'm telling you, these revelations don't come out of a lot of people's minds. They come from demonic sources. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your hands? And he will say, these which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Now, we know that Judas Iscariot betrayed him, and he was the one prophesied. Now he makes a prophecy here. We know the last chapter, they saw whom they had pierced, and they mourned for him as an only begotten son. And we read in the New Testament the parable of the landowner that lent his land out to sharecroppers, and they murdered his servants, and then they murdered his only son. And they said, what will he do? Jesus told him, what will they do to the one? And they will take those miserable wretches and torture them. And they condemned them on themselves. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. That means the government. The sword, the government that deals all governments according to human government have to wield capital punishment. The sword here is the sword of what we call order, government. A government to exist must execute capital punishment on those that belong to be, deserve to be literally put to death. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man, my associate. Now the Islamic confession of faith is, there is no God but Allah, and he has no associate. Do you see that? He has no companion. Where do you think this came from? And Muhammad is his prophet. Again, there is no God but Allah, and he has no companion, no associate. And Muhammad is his prophet. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against my companion, against my associate, declares Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd that the sheep may be scattered. Is that what happened? Jesus, even Peter, whom was going to die and cut that man's ear off in protection, when Jesus was arrested, he became a coward. And he ran. And then he followed Jesus behind to see what was going to happen to him. And then when they accused him of being his disciple, he swore and cursed and made an oath in the name of God that he was not a disciple of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones, against my little church, there that the Jews are going to go against them. They wanted to kill them all. The Apostle Paul, Saul, actually, was one of the chief killers. And I will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish. Two-thirds of the Jews during this tribulation period are going to die. Again, Islam, their end-time prophecies say that the Mahdi will come forth, and his first plan is to kill all the pigs, because those are cursed Jews. He will kill all the Jews. That is his purpose. And he will be helped by the beast and the false prophet Isa, Jesus. One third will be left in the land. Two thirds will die. And I will bring the third part to the fire of tribulation period. Right here, we know Islam says they're going to build a temple in Jerusalem, and they will bring the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem, and they will build a temple. And they also say that the Mahdi will reign for 7 years. The Bible says the Antichrist will reign for 7 years, but in the middle of that Antichrist, he's going to stand in the temple of God, and the Jews are going to be there, and he's going to say, I am God. And when you see this, he said, this is the abomination desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. When you see that, flee. Don't go back to your house. Take off and flee and go to the hills, to the mountains. And many people believe that that place is Petra. And it says in the Bible that all the Jews will flee out into the desert, and that the Antichrist armies will be after them, killing the Jews. That's what they're going to do. That's what the Mahdi's going to do, is kill the Jews. and that God will open up the earth and swallow them. With natural forces, he will stop them there, and then they will go down, and he will take care of them for the last 3.5 years. But they will look and say, they will see him come back to protect them. Islam says that the Mahdi will kill the Jews. The Bible says Jesus will protect the Jews, at least this 1/3 of the Jews. And he will bring them through fire, and that they will go into the land, and they will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, Ezekiel 36:25-38. And I will bring the third part to the fire and refine them silver as fine, and test them as gold is tested, and they will call on my name. Where did you get the wounds in your hands? He said, in the house of my friends. And they will weep for him. Each one, each single solitary man will believe. Every woman, every child will believe that their ancestors have crucified the God of glory. Mm-hmm. And they will weep because they will see the curses upon us. And then Jesus will protect them. They will call on my name and I will answer them. And I will say, they are my people. And they will say, Jehovah is my Elohimu. That Jehovah is my God.
Yeah.
And Jehovah is my God. Mm-hmm. And my God mm-hmm. is Jehovah.
Yeah.
Jehovah means what? He who shall become. John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos sarx agenito. And the word, the Jehovah, that's a figure of speech. The word there is a figure of speech. Ho logos is equivalent to ha dabar in the Hebrew. And that Hathavar is the word they spoke when they saw the name of Jehovah, because they never spoke his name. Exodus 20:7, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain,
mm-hmm.
for he shall require it of you.
Mm-hmm.
He required it of 2/3 of the Jews. We will require it of 5 out of every 6 people in the world will die for blaspheming the name of Jehovah. There is no God but Allah, and he has no companion. That is right out of hell. And they will say, the Lord is my God, and I am the Lord's. He is my God, and I am his. And they will be protected for that 3.5 years. And then at the end of that battle, which we're going to talk about in the next one, this is the battle. The last battle right here. And then Lord will usher in his millennium. Our Heavenly Father, we send this word out to you. I pray, Father, that people would be blessed with it. I pray, Father, if one out there that has not come to know you, that they will be saved this very hour and not put off their eternity, the eternalization. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.